Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
And we're going to pray and we're going to get this service going. Father God, we love You, Lord. And Lord, we know how much You love us, Lord. Lord Jesus, you went to the cross, Lord, for us. And Father God, thank You for sending Your Son. So Lord, this day we ask that by Your Holy Spirit that You would just have Your way with this group of people, Lord, with us. Stir our hearts, Lord. Give us visions, Lord. Let us see, Lord, where You're going, what You're doing. And Lord, let us see what You want to do this day at this service. We give You this time, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus.
Good morning, church. I have been in the work, reading the work of Psalms, and there was something in here that just touched my heart, and I know that God has been showing me that our church is hurting and that so many people are enduring so many trials and tribulations. But I will encourage you with this. This is Psalm 138. It says, "In the day when I cried, Thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. So though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me." So I just encourage you and let you know that God is with you. So during this time of trials and tribulations, this is where you stand on the Word and you find the scripture that makes a difference for you, that says, "I'm going to stand on this." And when things get difficult, I want you to remember the enemy is going to try to distract you. He's going to try to let you know that nothing's going to work, but that's when he's working the hardest and you're on the brink of your miracle. Yeah. Hope must stay alive in you. So then that way he can work through you and that he can create the victory that you've been waiting for. Yeah. And sometimes victory doesn't come overnight. Sometimes it takes time. But the thing is during that time, use your talents to encourage others. Yeah. Show your faith that you are able to help others through whatever difficulties they're going through. Yeah. And then you will watch and see God work and perform on your behalf. So just know that he is with you and he will help you through anything and everything. No longer do you look through, see the circumstances against you. Look through to the face of God, because he's the one who's going to bring victory to you. So praise God.
That word resonates in me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That came out in our prayer time this morning, and it's resonating in my heart right now. And the Lord just wants me to tell you that, to back up everything that my sister said, it is the Lord that gets us through trials and tribulations, because Jesus said, He said when he was here, "Take heart, for I have overtaken the world," and you will go through trials and tribulations. But the joy of the Lord gets us through the things that we're going through, the fires, the tribulations, the sicknesses, the diseases, of which is not of Him. It's not of Him. It's things that we go through, but it's the joy of the Lord that gets us through these things. Just stay focused on Him. Stay focused. Worship, praise Him, love Him, make Him your everything, and you shall see that you will get the desires of your heart. Your children will be saved. Your children will be healed. There will be deliverances. There's going to be salvations that you didn't even expect, that you had doubts about. With God, there's no doubts, because He's our everything. He's El Shaddai. He's Almighty God. With Him, all things are possible. But it's the strength that gets us through our things. Amen.
So going off the joy of the Lord as our strength, how do we get that joy? By spending time with Him, right? Yeah. So how many of you would like to spend more time with God or wish you had more time to spend with God? Okay, well, I'm going to share something with you that helped me. At the beginning of the year, I did this challenge. It was like a 5-day declutter challenge, and it was called Declutter Like a Mother. But yeah, cute name. So what I liked about it is she broke it up into 5 days, and she took a big problem and made it small. And what I loved what she said is, how did she put it? I don't remember. My mind's going blank. What she would do, like the first day, she said, we're just going to start small on something little. Like, you're not going to conquer the house in a day, okay? It's going to take time to get there. But the first day, I want you to start small and just go into the bathroom and work on just your countertop or just a shelf in the cabinet or whatever, just a little thing. So you accomplish something. And then if that feels good, if you want to continue, then you continue. But I like how she broke it down so it wasn't, you know, one big thing. It was just little things that add up. And so when I was thinking about that, I was like, man, what if we actually like applied that to our lives and spending time with God? And I think maybe some of you have never even done it or don't even know how to start. So I want to tell you, start small. It doesn't have to be hours and hours of praise and worship. If you can do that, God bless you, do it. But if you don't have the time, start small. Just 5 minutes a day. Put one worship song on that you love and just spend that time praising the Lord, because that's where we get our joy. That's where we get our joy. That's where we get our direction. So just work on starting small, just 5 minutes a day. And the other thing about decluttering, she said, you know, when you go through the rest of the house, look at an item and say, is this bringing me joy? Is this serving me? Or can I get rid of it? Right? And I love that because, you know, sometimes we just, stuff adds up. And like, I've had this, it's been sitting here for 5 years. I've never used it. So let's get rid of it. But so if we apply that to our life also, take a look around our house. What are we watching on TV? What are we reading? What tabs are open in our phones and our computers? What people are we hanging around with? Are they adding to our lives, or are they stealing our joy and our time with God? So I'm also reading in Deuteronomy, and they're about to go into the promised land, and God tells them, I'm giving you this land. These people are here. They're going to be driven out, but you need to go in and clean house. He says, get rid of everything. Their Asherah poles, anything that can be a snare to you. Okay? Because the only thing that matters is God, right? You need to get rid of all the other stuff. So take a look around, and what's a snare in your life? What is keeping you from spending that time with God?
Thank you for that message on decluttering. I'm a standing example of what that happened in our life when we moved here. It'll be a year in April we moved here. There is such a freedom in letting go of stuff and giving our life fully surrendered to the Lord, not to stuff. And I tell you, there's been such a freedom to serve the Lord in a stronger way, because I've been freed of stuff, freed from the world. This world holds us captive to stuff, material things. Nothing that we have here are we taking with us. When we go to heaven, we're not taking stuff with us. Give, and so before we moved here, the Lord totally gave Rick and I the heart of who to give the stuff to. Every day, I mean, we spent probably at least six, 7 months preparing to move here. And each day, each week, God put on my heart and Rick's heart who to give what to sell, what to give away, what should we sell, what should we give away. So, and in the process of that, we came here with minimal amount of stuff. And we're so grateful that the Lord released us from stuff. So, he's still working on me, still working on all of us, because I still have more stuff. I still have a lot of stuff to give away, but thank God the Lord's working on me still. He's working on all of us. Amen.
We thank the Lord. We thank the Lord because he's given us so many gifts. We thank the Lord because the gift of the Spirit is joy and peace and goodness and gladness. And that's all who lives within you. And so one of the things that he says here is that in 2 Timothy 6, it says, "For this reason I remind you to fan the flame of the gifts of God." And that's a gift of joy. That's part of it. This gets one of it. That's one of it. Which is within you on the laying of hands. For God did not give you a spirit of intimidation, but a spirit of power and of love and self-discipline. You have it all. That's not something that you might think that I might think about having. And it doesn't really matter of what you think that you have. What you have to know is the faith and the knowing that it's because of him, because of Jesus Christ is the one that has the power that it placed within you. It's in you. So you can't say you don't have it. If you have him, you have the power of healing. You have the power of love. You have the power of discipline. You have the power of whatever he tells you. We're all different. We all have different gifts. But the thing is, it's all powerful. It's all powerful because he said so. And it's not because we think we might. And it's not something that we think that it could happen, but it's because it's reality. So stop looking at the negative. Look at the positive and the reality of who you are in him. And it's not, you have it. There's nothing that you're missing. You have it all in Jesus' name.
I was reading about how the children of Israel went through the Red Sea, and God brought them out through the other side. Amen. You guys remember that? And he flooded the Egyptians, and the children of Israel saw what was their bondage floating in the water. God had wiped it out. And Moses sang a song afterwards, and he says, "You know, the Lord is he watches over us. He takes care of us." And then he said something that God has been going over in my mind ever since we started the service this morning. That the Lord our God is a man of war. Do you know that? He is a man of war. And I know you're going to say, "Well, God's not a man." Well, this is what Moses said. The word says that God is a man of war. This building, when I was out, before we even started anything here, it was all boarded up. And the word of God came to me out on the parking lot. And it said, "Open up, O ye gates. Open up, O ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory will come in." He'll come in. And the scripture says, who is the King of glory? He's God, mighty in battle. Mighty in battle. Listen, folks, you don't have to fight anything. Surely listen. Listen very carefully. Listen. There is a way to listen and a way to listen with your heart. How many say amen to that? How many of you know that? That your heart picks up things that maybe your ears have never heard. Do you know that? Listen to this. God is fighting the battle. He's not going to release it. You, all you have to do is release it. Let him fight the battle, for the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Virginia, same with Sister Virginia. I don't know if you guys, she's not here this morning, but I sense it for her. If you hear her, if you see her, you tell her the battle is the Lord's. You just worship God. Worship God. Just like Micaiah said, worship God. Worship God. The strength comes through the worship. Do you know that? In his presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. So why do we sing? Why do we sing them? Somebody's in the back. What are you singing that song over and over and over again? Why do you do it over? Because I'm going to tell you, God's placing it not in your ears, but in your heart. You'll be singing, this is how I praise the Lord. Walking down Tuesday morning, you'll be walking down, going to take your trash out. This is how I praise the Lord. Where'd that come from? Well, because God has placed it on your heart. See, God writes on our hearts. Am I going to say amen to that? God writes on your heart.
Hallelujah.
The battle belongs to the Lord. Whoever you are, whoever is here, just know, just say that to yourself. The battle is the Lord's and not mine. I don't have to fight. It's already done in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise God.
It doesn't matter how you... I don't care if you have the best voice in the world. I don't care if you think you can't sing a lick. I don't care. But God knows where your heart is all the time. It's why something like just lifting your voice in a moment, just going after him can be such a powerful thing in your life. Just like my dad was saying, we sing something over and over, not just because. But what I love is that there's sometimes where when you're singing and you're worshiping, you can just feel it. It's like somebody just going, hallelujah, a million times, and you not knowing why. Maybe it's because every single time they say it, there's something that just flows over them. It can be any word, it can be anything, but that's the point. Is that it's not specific to this is how you have to do it. It's where your heart is at while you're doing it. It's that feeling of, God, I just want to give it all to you. I want to worship you. I want to lay it down and I want to just give you a gift. When I hear this song all the time, in the part where it says, thank you, Lord, for saving me. When I was weak. You know, he saved us long before we needed any kind of saving. When he created us, he knew exactly what we needed. And what I love is the ability to say, this is how I thank you, Lord, because there is a gift that he's given us that is beyond anything that we could really ever give to him. But that's why worship is a powerful thing, because it's our ability to say, this is a gift, regardless of how big, how small it may seem to us, to him, it's a gift to hear our worship and our praise, and for him to know that we are laying it all down and just giving him something that for so many people can be difficult to give. Because think about it, church. How many times in a service have you sat there and thought, I don't want to lift my hand because I don't know what they'll think of me. I don't want to shout when I want to shout. I don't want to scare somebody. I don't want to use my prayer language. What if somebody thinks it's weird? How many times have we said those things to ourselves in a moment where we should have just said, God, I don't care. It's not about the person next to me. It's not about the person that's even anywhere else. It's only about me and you. It's a gift that I'm bringing for you. Regardless of anything else, I am bringing my gift before you. It really is a form of surrender.
Thank you, Jesus. I ask that you would just remain in that spirit of worship, remain in that spirit of praise, a spirit of thankfulness as we go into celebration of communion this morning. We have a heart full of thank yous for Jesus and what he did on that cross. And so by celebrating communion is one way of showing that we thank him and that we remember him. So please for a moment be seated as the servers pass out the elements. Worship team, thank you. Amen. We are so blessed with this worship team. We're so blessed that our Lord just meets us right where we are and his spirit can flow through the worship music and right back to him because he is worthy. So while the servants are passing out the elements, just for those of you that have never been with us to participate in communion, every first Sunday of the month, we celebrate communion as a church body. It's corporate communion. And every other, thank you. Every other Sunday, we always have communion in the back table so that you can go on your own with your family, as a group, however you want to do that, but it's always available. Communion is something that we think is precious, and it's not about tradition. It's not about just something that all good Christians do on Sundays. It's about what it means to each one of us. And as the word says, remember what Jesus did on the cross. So as they're passing the elements, I want to read out of Hebrews 10, starting with verse 11. And it says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. And after that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts. I will write them on their minds. And then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. I think every word in the Bible is wonderful, but my favorite is the one scripture that says, finished. No more to be done. Jesus came and he took care of all things that the devil could ever throw at us. And when he said, it is finished, what do we not understand about that word? There's no more to be done. So I'm going to ask that you stand as we take the elements. And for those of you that aren't familiar, you got to twist those little guys around a little bit because there's some bread underneath the first cup. Yeah, I know. I could tell you were wondering. Oh, there it is. Yes. So everybody's got them all separated, right?
Yep.
Okay. Let me see if I can do that. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, after giving thanks, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, this is my body. And that body was broken. It was broken so that we could be whole. So please take the bread. And in the same way, he took the cup, which was a symbol. He said, this is my blood. And that blood was shed on the cross. And I always have that image in my mind that from the crown of thorns to the nails on his feet, all the blood that he had was shed for us so that our sins would be forgiven, not to be looked at. As he said, as I read, he will remember them no more. They're written up here in our minds that we are righteous in his eyes. So please take the cup. And just take a minute and remember that time on the cross and what it means to you today. Thank you, Lord. If you would pass your little plastic cups to one side or the other of your aisle there, and someone will pick them up for you. Thank you. Okay, if you would be seated. And we're going to ask our speaker today, Rebecca, if you're ready. Please welcome Rebecca. She is just a wonderful, wonderful minister, and she's got a wonderful message for you guys.
Hello. Hi. Sorry about that. So I wanted to check with, I'm really big. I know this is something I talk about every time that I start, but if you take notes, I have a lot of scriptures. I would encourage you to just write them down because of course, with everything, we always talk about being independently dependent on God. And a part of that is taking the things you hear back and asking God about them yourself, you know, and just hearing what he has for you. So the title of my message that's on the bulletins for today is Daring Expectations. And it's something that God was really, I feel like he's really already been talking to the church about it for weeks. I know that I've heard my dad mention some things. I know that in some of the things that God's given me in worship, like it's been the same things that I've spoken about as well. And I really do believe that he has been pressing this in so many of our hearts for so long. And how many of you know that when you're hearing the same thing over and over and over and over again, you know, like, okay, God's really trying to get something through here. He's really wanting us to hear what he's trying to say and not just hear it, but to take it and to put it into action. And so with what he gave me, it really does have a lot to do about the action part now. I really feel like since I was young, I remember one of the first times that I felt like I heard from God myself, like not through, you know, hearing a sermon or even hearing something my parents talked about, but the first time I felt like God actually gave me a word, like, and talked to me about something in the Bible, I remember I got so excited and I was just super excited and I couldn't wait for my dad to get home. Like the whole time I probably drove my mom crazy because I think I kept asking her like, when's dad going to be home? When's he going to come home? Where's dad? And that's the thing is that what he talked to me about then, what he gave me a word on was about faith. And when I felt like God was giving me the word for today, I was like, oh, but God, you know, I feel like that's something that, like, is it just something that I'm thinking, like, okay, this is something God's really worked with me on for a long time. So, But then he just began to pour all these scriptures out and in a new way. And it was something that I really enjoyed, even just for myself, because I was like, oh, this is good. Like, this feels good. I understand like exactly what you're saying. And it's something that I have prayed about all week. God, help me to say it in a way that it'll translate for everybody to understand what you showed me. Because it really is something that's important in our life. We talk about faith all the time in the church. We do, right? I mean, it's one of those core things that we do. We talk about, you know, have faith that God's going to take care of it. Have faith that, you know, that everything's going to be okay. Have faith, you know, and we do. We talk about it a lot. But there is a huge difference between us just having faith and walking in faith. We can say so as many times as we want, you know, I'm healed. But until you really start walking in that healing, I don't know who this is for, but healing is not something that you have to think is afar off and like, you know, just so hard and something that I could never necessarily have. That's the thing, is God puts things in our lives for reasons, but we have to learn to not just say things, but to walk in them. We have to learn that what he's given us, the words that he's given us, the things that he's placing in our life, that we can't just say, oh God, that was really good, but then walk outside of the church and the next day not even do a single thing that he said. It's the same thing with our day-to-day, right? Is we're going after God and we are hearing from him. It's taking those things in our lives and putting them into action. The Bible actually talks about us producing fruit, right? And a lot of that fruit that's being produced is being produced as an action of what we are harvesting and seeing come forth. And that process is an action process. It really is. It's taking it, doing it, and living by it. Not just saying it or even just speaking it. Because I will tell you, I have done it before. I'm like, okay, nope. Sickness, you can't come after me. Like, I can't be down. By his stripes, I am healed. And then 2 seconds later, I'm like, oh, I don't feel good. Like, you know, That's the thing, is a lot of times those, what we're seeing in the physical, what we're feeling in the physical, can have so much to do with what we end up doing, right? And that's the thing, is we're not meant to walk that way, church. We're just not. It's what we do naturally because we feel like, you know, this is what I'm used to listening to. I'm used to listening to my body, my emotions that are telling me that this hurts or I'm hungry or this is what I need or this is what I want. And we really do get used to thinking, okay, this is what I want. I'm going to go over here. This is what I need. Okay, I'm going to go over here. And that's the thing, is that we're not meant to just do all of it. That'd get us into a lot of trouble. We are meant to walk in the things that God's giving us. When we receive something and we take it in, and not just take it in, but put it into action in our life, it really does. It's a weeding out process. Now you didn't just hear it, but you placed it in your life. You made it happen in your life, and you're pulling out the old things and putting in the new things. This is what I want. This is what I need, because God, you're giving it to me, and I know that this is what needs to go here. And that's what we're going to talk a lot about today, is not just having faith, but having a daring expectation all the time for what God has for us, for what God wants us to do, for what God has created us for in everything. So if you want to turn with me, the first thing we're going to go to is Matthew 21:18. And we are going to read about the barren fig tree. So it says, "Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, 'Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever.' And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, 'How soon is the fig tree withered away?'" I mean, I would be saying that too, right? Like, if it just, in a second when he spoke it, like, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How soon is the fig tree withered away?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, 'Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea,' it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." This is where this is at. And they're red letters. Because Jesus spoke this to his disciples, telling them, this is what you can do. And that's the thing. I've read this story so many times, and I think I'm going to be honest, I've paid a lot of attention to the fig tree. The first time I read it, I think I remember thinking, "Oh, how sad, the poor fig tree," you know? The second time, I know that, like, I definitely thought, like, about the it being done immediately. But I know when I read it this time, what really stood out was what he said to the disciples, because this book is the truth. It is. God does not lie. He does not say one thing and do another. He doesn't, you know, say, "Here you go," and then be like, "Just kidding." He doesn't do that. It's why having that relationship with God is so important, because he's going to speak to you about things. But in here, when you look at this, he said, "Verily I say unto you," unto all of us, "if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you say unto this mountain, 'Be thou removed and be cast into the sea,' it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." He told us right there, You see a tree that's not producing, and you tell it you're done, it's done. So where is it that we always think that we don't have any power to do anything? Why does the mountain seem so big when we're saying these things? Because we've gotten so used to seeing things in the physical that we're not operating in the kingdom. And that's what he desires for us to do. He desires for us to operate in the kingdom, not to be operating based on what we see. The church, the bride, is supposed to rise up. And that rising up happens when we begin to realize the power that we have in God. The power that we should be using, because we were created to use it. He came to earth and he walked with the disciples and he showed them everything that he could do as a man. It wasn't, "I'm showing you everything that I can do and that's it." It was, "I am showing you what you can do. I'm showing you what you're meant to do. I'm showing you who you are meant to be," because the Bible tells us that we are a reflection of the Father. So if we're a reflection of him, why aren't we using what he's given us in our every single day life? It's a part of, they say it takes so many days to create a habit, right? But if we aren't doing it at all, then you're not creating any habits except for the same ones that you've been doing all the time. We can sit up here and we can say, get in your room and read the Bible. Go after God. Meet with him. We can say it until we're blue in the face. But just like Micaiah said, until you start putting the time in, regardless of how small, until you start making those efforts, it's not happening. Yet we sit there and say, God, you're not doing anything. Why? Why am I asking for help, but nothing's happening? Because we have to learn that what he's giving us isn't just words. There's power within it that we have to start putting into action in our life so that we can begin to see those fruits come forth in our life. We can't continue to just spin our wheels in the mud doing the same thing over and over. Don't get mad at me because I know God's saying this, but the Pharisees knew everything about the Bible, went to church, did all of that stuff, and what did they do? I'm sorry, but the church can't say that anymore. The church can't say, I'm here, I'm making it, I'm sitting in my seat. It's not good enough. It's not. And you're gonna be missing something until you start putting into action the things that God has given you, the gifts that he's placed in your life, the things that he's talking to you about. And what I really enjoyed, sorry, Micaiah, I'm using you a lot, but what I really enjoyed about what Micaiah talked about is that so often in our life, we see this thing that needs to be changed and we say, God, we need you to do all of this right now. I want it gone. And trust me, he has the power to do it. But sometimes he's giving you those things already. You've just not been using it, which is why you're not seeing any change. Because he's been giving you the things in your life. Here, let me give you this. Let me feed you some of this. Let me give you some of this milk so that you can start going. And so often we take it and in that moment we're saying, yeah, that's good. But then we forget about it. And that's not what we're meant to do in those moments. We're meant to use it for what he has for us. We're meant to start applying it in our life and using it in our life so that he can begin to start doing things that he's wanted to do all along. Amen. Sometimes that I feel like I'm not getting a response from God isn't because you're not getting a response from God. It's because he's speaking to you and you're not taking it or you're not hearing it because it's not what you're wanting to see. Whew. But he's giving it to you. Let's go to Mark 11. And we're going to read verse 20 through 24. And it says, and this is the same story, so I just wanted to read again. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou curse is withered away. This is actually, sorry, I'm sorry. This is the Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, there you go. Okay, sorry. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. It really is just realizing that we gotta believe in what we're asking for. This is two views of this account, and both of them used believe in there because that's what God, Jesus told them. Jesus said, believe and you will have it. It's why it's so important that when we're praying for anything, say finances, say just if we're praying for like burdens lifted, if we're praying for healing, if we're praying for any of that, it's why when we pray for those things, you gotta believe you already have it. You gotta know, based on the word, God said that if I ask anything I desire and I believe I have it, that I'll have it. Because his word is true. Now, if you're asking for things contrary to his word, now that's something completely different. But when God is giving you things and he's speaking to you on them and you're taking them and you're using them and you're saying, God, this is what you told me. This is what you promised for me. Regardless of what you're seeing or what you're not seeing, when you stand on that and you walk in it, you'll begin to see those things in your life just come to pass. Sometimes we make it so difficult because we think that we got to do all of this stuff to make it happen. But the most important thing that we have to realize is that we got to do what he told us to do. Whether that be just wait on me, whether that be just let me fight the battle for you, whether that's okay, now I want you to go over here and make this move. It doesn't matter what it is, what he tells you to do, do it. Put it to action in your life, especially when you're asking, God, give me what I need. God, I need you to intervene. God, I need these. Well, then do what he's giving you to do. Be obedient in the things that he's placing in your life. Because as you're obedient in those small areas, he begins to take you to the next areas that he's wanting to give you to build you up and give you more and give you that life that's more abundantly. It really is a lot of times a working in our lives. It's why the Bible tells us to count it all joy when things come up in our life. Because if we're looking at things in the kingdom the way that we're supposed to look at them, when those trials come forth, we'll already know, God, you're showing me something. You're giving me something. This is working together for good in my life because it's what you told me. When we begin to operate according to the things that he's told us, that's when we begin to see the kingdom on earth. Because it's easy. It's easy for people to operate in the flesh. But it definitely takes going after God and allowing him to speak to us to begin to operate where the Spirit is what's leading us and going before us in every single thing we do. It's why the relationship is so important. Because when you're going through things, and when you're not going through things, he will speak to you about things. It doesn't matter where you're at, the highs, the lows, whatever it might be. He's going to speak to you all the time about where he's wanting you to move, what he's wanting you to do, what he's giving you, as long as you are going after him and you are listening to him for it. If we go to, let's go to John 14, 12. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. This is another scripture to support all the first scriptures that are telling you that you have the power to do all things. You have the ability to do the things that he's talking about in this book. You have the ability to, just like Peter, walk on water. You have the ability to, you do. I know that, see, this is the thing, is sometimes the church won't talk about these things because they say, oh, people are going to think we're crazy. You're not crazy. You're walking in what God's given you. It's something in your life that can be so powerful because you don't have to. God is the one who changes hearts. He's the one who speaks to people. He's the one that shows them things. He's the one that will give them what they need when they have questions, when they have anything that they're just unsure of. It's not our job to make somebody believe. It's not. So don't feel bad when you shared something with somebody and then now, well, they're not doing it. Understand that it's the same thing we do, right? God deals with us on things, and as he deals with them on us, it becomes real to us because now he's speaking in our life. And that's why it's important for our focus to not be on, oh, how can I fix this over here? And how can I fix this person over here? How can I fix this? Our focus is to be on God. And as we go after God, the rest happens because our life is now showing who he is. And instead of you having to go over and say, oh, can I fix this? Can I do this? God will then just be giving you things that you need that are already just happening and flowing naturally. Because now it's a work that he's doing. It's not something that you're trying to do just on your own. This is exactly how we're meant to operate. We're meant to just be going after him, focusing on our relationship with him so that he can keep placing things within us that we need so that then we can take it out.
Amen.
It's a flowing water. It really is. As we're taking this stuff in, it's just coming out and it's not even forced. That's the awesome part about it. It's not forced at all. We just begin to love on the person next to us. We begin to speak to them about things God's given us. We begin to show them what God can do in their life through our own life. And you begin to have an effect on people that is way more powerful than anything you could have said on your own. It's putting into action what God's given you that makes you shine bright. It's putting into action who he is in our lives that makes you the salt of the earth. You begin to transform and change into who he's always wanted you to be, who he created you to be. And there's nothing wrong with where you're at right now. Don't get me wrong. He knew this is where you would be in this moment. And he has everything placed and set up for you that you can move from this moment.
Hallelujah.
Nothing is a surprise to him. But so often what we do is we keep ourselves stuck in these spots because we're just not willing to have that daring expectation to step out in what he's told us. He desires for us to walk in a different way, to do things in a different way. You will see it over and over in the Bible as he talks about the kingdom of heaven and as he talks about giving you the keys to the kingdom. That's all him unlocking mysteries for you that you might be able to walk in a way that is completely different than anything anybody has ever seen on this earth. Whew. I know that I don't want to just say things. I don't ever even, my biggest prayer all the time, God, just keep using me because I don't ever want to stand up here and just be singing a song. I want to be effective. I want to bring the presence of God so that people can feel who he is, so that he can change lives, so he can do, and that's all through just saying, God, use me in whatever way you want to. And it's the same exact thing for the church. We can keep talking about how much we want revival. We can keep talking about how much this world needs God. We can keep talking about all of those things over and over. But church, we're the ones that are meant to be walking in that way. We're the ones that are supposed to start showing what that looks like. We're the ones that are meant to have things being transformed in our lives that they might be able to see God more than they see anything about us. As the church begins to do all the things that are in this book, not just reading it, we're going to begin to see the kingdom here. We're going to begin to see those moves. We're going to begin to see people just rising up and doing things like they've never seen done before. Because now there is a generation that is just not going to care what people think. That's going to say, God, I am going to heal the sick. I am going to do all these things because I am going to take what you're saying and I'm going to use it. I'm not just going to hold it and sit on it. I'm going to use it in my life. I'm going to make it real, and I want to see it. Because he has already done so many things, even in this church, to set up having this facility, having, you know, pastors here, having people here, and growth in any church here, anywhere, not just here, happens as the body grows. It really does. Because we're not meant to just be speaking to the same people all the time over and over and over. We're meant to be effective because now what we're hearing and we're receiving, we're taking out, which is creating a hub of what then now people are coming in because I want what they got, because whatever they're doing, it's working. They're happy. I've never seen anything like that in my life. I've never seen such content. I've never seen such joy. I've never seen such peace. I've never seen. I want what they got. I want to know what it is. As we walk in what he's given us, as we begin to use what he's actually said to us, we begin to walk in the kingdom. We begin to show something completely different than this earth. And we begin to show who the Father is in a way that is just so undeniable. Because now you are operating contrary to what everybody else thinks should be happening. But they're seeing the results of that happening. So let's go to Proverbs 3, 1 through 10. And it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. This scripture I loved because it's telling you, earthly wisdom is doing you nothing. It's not helping you in the situations that you're asking for help in. It's not giving you what you need. But it says, lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes. We can think we know everything sometimes. I will be the first to admit, that I have had a couple of times where I have argued my point with my husband because I am right. I know I'm right. For in the end to have to be like, oh, sorry. I guess I wasn't right, you mean? But isn't that how we are so often? There are so many times where we think, oh, I know that this is the way it should be. I know that this is what I need to do. And sometimes God is telling us, no, that's not the way I want you to do it. It's not the way that I'm wanting you to go. It's not the path I'm wanting you to take. And we have to learn that we got to lean on that. We got to lean on what he's saying and not on what we're feeling. We got to lean on what he's showing us and not where we think we should be going. We have to learn that the wisdom we have is earthly wisdom, and it's not always what's best for us. It's not always the best path walked. It's not always where he wants us to go. You know, our business has been open. This is the 6th year. And several of those years had a lot to do with COVID, that's a scary thing for a business. And what was even more scary for us was that we watched a lot of the other businesses that did the same exact thing that we did go under. And I did a lot of praying. God, what do I do? Because I don't know what to do. But I knew that when I got into the business, that I got into it based on a word that God gave me. And to be honest, it was very contrary to what I thought I should be doing. When I got a phone call from our old business partners. They really needed help with this business. And they really, Rebecca, like, we've been asking you for years, will you please come work for us? And for so long, because I was working at the mine, I was making a lot of money. And I was like, no, sorry, I can't. You're being like, just didn't make sense. But then God did something on his own, which was lay both my husband and I off from the mine at the same time. Which then, even then, when they asked me, I was still making more money than what they were going to pay me, which is why it didn't make any sense to me to take the position. But for whatever, well, I know the reason, I had this pressing that every time I wanted to say no, I felt like, nope, you shouldn't say no yet. So I didn't say no. And I talked to my dad about it. I was really praying because I really do think that they thought I shouldn't do it either, because I remember having conversations where I'm like, well, it's less money. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't make sense at all. But God gave me several words about what he had for me and what he was doing in my life. And not just for me, but also about our business partners. And when I started there, they were not our business partners. I was coming to work for them. And the truth is that I knew that the word that he gave me was that the wife that I was meant to just be a servant in any way I could. He gave me a dream about it. And the dream was, there was like these little tiny, you see when a plant comes up, it usually has just like two little tiny like leaves or one little tiny leaf sticking out. And they kept popping up all over the place. And I had a water jug and I was running around and I was like watering them all over the place. And I was trying to like keep up with them because they were popping up and I was trying to water, 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 water. And I was running everywhere. The dream seemed a little silly at the time, but then when I went back and looked at a lot of what he gave me, it's exactly what he had talked to me about in humbling myself and being a servant. And And so I took the job. And yes, there were some hard times, and we had to make some changes in spending and different things. But the truth is that God took care of our finances. Even in the moments where I felt like he wasn't, he did. But if I would have never been obedient in what didn't make sense, I would never be where he brought me to now. Because there's going to be things in your life that God tells you, do this. And it might be whether it's that he's asking you to give up something that's super close to you, or if he's telling you to take a step that you can't see where it's going to lead you to, regardless of what it is. The Bible tells us, lean not on your own understanding. We are meant to trust what he's giving us. We're meant to trust. That's what faith is. And this is the thing, is we talk about faith so often, but do we understand that, yes, when he's asking us to do things, we might not see the next step. We might not know where we're going, but it doesn't change the fact that he is telling us to step out in faith and believe what he's given us. Even if it doesn't make sense in your checkbook, even if it doesn't make sense in where you're at in your life, he's not looking at just now. He's looking at where he's going to place you down the road. He's looking at all of the things he's wanting to pour into your life, all the things he's wanting to give you, and you are getting yourself stuck because you're only looking at what's happening now. You're only paying attention to what is right in front of you when he's saying, stop it, because I am looking at what I'm trying to give you years from now. I'm looking at how I'm trying to build you so I can take you into a new place. I'm looking at what I have for you when I created you. I gave you something I want to give you. Stop being the one to make it all come to a halt. Do what he's asked you to do, because what he has for you is greater than anything that you could ever plan for yourself. You think that you want all these things that are the best things that you could ever have, but I guarantee you that if you follow God and you listen to what he has for you, that when you get to what he's given you, you're going to be saying, oh my gosh, my dream was so small. I never thought I could have had this. I never thought that this is what you would have me doing. I never thought that this is where you would be bringing me. Because he has a dream that is so much bigger than ours. He has a plan that is so far beyond anything we could plan for ourselves. That's why he's the creator. That's why he's the one who's painting the masterpiece. That's why he is the potter, is because he is meant to show us, guide us, sculpt us, all of those things that he might be able to give us, all the things he planned for us to have. So don't be the one getting in the way of what he's got for you. Especially because so often when we get in the way, we're also saying, God, what's going on? And he's saying, I'm here. I've been here the whole time. But I'm giving you things that I need you to lean on me for, not on your own understanding. I need you to have a daring expectation of what I have for you. I need you to walk in this way so that I can keep giving it to you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2:1. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." This is meant, this is how we're meant to operate. Not in our wisdom. Not in all the things we think need to happen that we are determined to have happen, but in what he's telling us to do. In the wisdom that God's given us. And he gives us wisdom through the Holy Spirit. As we are going after him, the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to you on things and begin to give you things that will just, they will work in your life. And that is what we are meant to follow. It's, this is another place in the Bible that's telling us the same thing. Don't lean on your wisdom. Lean on my wisdom. Because I'm giving you things. God's saying, I am giving you things. And I need you to listen to what I'm saying so that you can have things in your life that I want to give you. We gotta start finding more importance in the wisdom that God wants to give us than the earthly wisdom that we all feel like that's what we need to have. We gotta realize that it is a surrendering that happens in our life when we say, okay, God, you know better than I know. So I am gonna follow what you're telling me. I'm gonna do what you're saying. When you give me something, I am taking you at your word and I am believing that you're going to do it in my life. These are the ways we got to begin to operate in our life because so many people are used to always operating in just necessity and earthly wisdom and the physical. This is what's happening in my life. This is the response I have. This is what's happening in my life. So this is what I got to fix. This is what I got to change. This is what I got. But God's saying, no, like stop looking at all of this and just pay attention to what I'm telling you. Just look to me. We make it so much more complicated than it needs to be. We really do. Because God gives us things and he shows us things and we're the ones that are, oh, but God, is that right? Oh, are you sure that that's the way it's going to work? Are you sure that this is what's going to happen? Are you, I don't know. That's scary. What if it doesn't go right? Because we're thinking about the physical and what might happen when he's saying, I told you that I would never leave you nor forsake you. So what's the issue? Right? Because we're leaning more on our wisdom than we are on what he's giving us, on the wisdom that he's trying to place within us. Let's go to Luke 12. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to this stature one cubit. If ye then be not... Oh, wait. Sorry. Did I... Oh, yeah. Okay. If ye then be not able to do that with thing which is least, why take ye thou for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, How much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all of these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. See, we worry because we're focused on things that aren't even of the kingdom. We worry because we're letting our emotions be what run us. But he tells us that we don't even need to worry at all. He's comparing to birds and lilies, and I like how in there he, both times that he compares to those things, he says, how much better are you? Because you're way more important to him than the lilies. You're way more important to him than the birds. But we don't realize that he's saying, they're taken care of. I created this earth that it might work for good. And they're taken care of. So why can't I take care of you? Why do you think that I didn't create you to be taken care of? And he says that his desire is to give you the kingdom. You have an inheritance that he has for you. It's why you can know that you have great things. It's why you can know that these are all the things he's given you, because you have an inheritance in him. But so often we aren't looking at that inheritance because we're too busy looking at what's right in front of us. We see such a small picture in comparison to the big that he has for us. When I was looking at the birds of the field or the birds and the lilies and everything, it made me think about an ant and how, I don't know if you guys have seen, but you know, when they draw a circle around an ant, they said like the ant will stay within the circle. And that has something to do with just like, you know, they run off of scent and smell. And when you draw that circle, like it throws off that scent for them and they just don't know where to go. But it also, like when I looked that up, because I was looking it up, because I knew that God kept just bringing it to mind. So I was like, okay, let me look this up. And when I looked it up, it also talked about how ants can get stuck in this, they call it a death circle. Where, and that has nothing to do with the ink being drawn. It has to do with one ant getting lost and then doing this circle. And because they go on scent, now they're all doing a circle. Which is really sad, because they get stuck in this circle that they just keep going around and around. It says that they'll just do it until exhaustion and they'll die. But we can be that way. We really, you know, as I read that, I was like, man, that's so sad. Those poor ants. Like, why didn't one just take off? You know what I mean? Like, but that's the thing, is they're so used to like, this is what we do, that they don't know where to go, and they're not going to step outside of that because they're used to following each other. But that's the thing, is that we really are not meant to just follow each other around in circles. We're not. And yes, like, I do know that it can be comforting to talk to a friend about what's going on. It can be comforting to talk about, you know, to a friend about like, you know, this is what's happening in my life. I don't know. I know that. But it's also comforting to talk to God about things happening in your life. Because your friend can tell you what they think maybe you should do, but God can tell you what you should do. Your friend can say, maybe, but your friend can say, but God can say, this is how it is. And this is what I have for you. We are not meant to get stuck in a circle. We have to be willing to have that daring expectation. So let me go over. I just want to go over with you really quickly. I looked up in the dictionary. Daring is audaciously bold. And strong expectation that something will happen and be or will happen in the future. That is faith right there. I know that you gave me word, God, and I'm going to stand on it and I'm not going to move from it until you give it to me. That is a daring expectation, a boldness that what you said will come to pass because that's what you told me. And God really does desire for us to operate here. Because just like this says, rather seek ye the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to give it to you. This is yours. This is your inheritance. This is what you should have. And then I have one more scripture that I want to go over. Sorry, two more, but I'll do it fast. Luke 18. verse 22, it says, now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto them, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When I read this in the past, honestly, I just thought of riches. That's it. Because that's what he's talking about, right? But when God gave me this scripture, I was like, oh, I don't know how that's going to go. But as he began to speak to me, I saw how it goes perfectly because some of what we see as riches is our wisdom, right? The things that we've built up for ourselves in maybe like you're standing at work or maybe you're all of these different things. Riches to us can also be what we have in the sense of what we know and what we stand for and all of these different things. And that's the thing is sometimes we build up these, you know, maybe positions in our life and all of this that when God says, just let it go, we're like, what? But we worked so hard for it. And what he's talking about in here is that, you know, the one who has nothing, it's easy for them to say, okay, let me go because I want more. There's not as much to lose, right? Whereas the person who's got a lot, when God says, no, don't look at that, just go. It can be so much harder because you really have to lean on him for what he's got for you. But this is what he desires, is that we do get to this place where we say, none of it matters compared to what you have for us. That if you told me to go sell my truck or go do this or go do that, that I know that you're going to provide the need regardless of what's happening. It's a daring expectation to know that when God says something, and it's scary for you to still step out into what he has for you. That is that boldness. Knowing that God, what you're saying is way more important than what I already have. Because God never meant for us to have less in the sense of you know, let me just knock you down some pegs and leave you there. That's not what he's ever trying to do in your life. And as we get to know God, we know that that's not who he is, that he's wanting to love on us, build us up, strengthen us, give us all of the things that we need in our life. So if we know that about him, then why is our first thought when he asks us to do something big that he's going to make us fail? We got to start looking at those big moments as this is a big moment for me in my life, that God's trying to take me somewhere. And if this seems big to me, then how much bigger is what he's got for me? Realizing that it doesn't matter all the rest. What matters is that he said that he would give us life more abundantly. These words are words that are meant to be written upon your heart so that when you come up to things in your life, your mouth can speak them. So that you can stand and you can stand on a firm foundation for all of the things that he's wanting you to do. When he tells you to do something, he's not telling you to do it to hurt you. He's telling you to do it so that he can give you more. So that he can build you up, so that he can uplift you. So stop looking at his ask that seems so big as an ask that's gonna make you just fall and fail, and then that he's just gonna leave you there. Start realizing that if we're operating in the kingdom, what he's asking you to do that seems so big, so far, and so out there is because he's taking you far and out there. Because he's giving you big things. Because he's wanting to give you more in your life. Because he's wanting you to be effective in the areas that you're in. Every single one of you is in a place that somebody else is not in. I don't work where you work. I don't necessarily hang out with the same exact friends that somebody else hangs out with. I don't necessarily see the same people that the person next to me sees. Because God has put you in a mission field that he wants you to deal with, that you're meant to pour out into, that you're meant to have an effect on people around you, that you're meant to touch. But it starts with learning that we gotta listen first, that we can't go and tell somebody to do something that we can't even do on our own. That's called being a hypocrite. You can't tell somebody, leave it all for Jesus because it's for your good and it's better for you when you can't do it yourself. And can I tell you that you won't even have to say it when you're doing it? When you're already walking in that, your life is going to be shining so bright in reflection of the Father that you won't have to say a thing to those people. They're going to see it. They're going to see how your life is just working together, how you have something that they're looking for. It's a need that they have that can't be met because the only one who can meet it is God, which is why you'll shine bright because they will be yearning for something that they'll see in your life because God is what they need. But we have to learn to have a daring expectation of God for the things that he's talking to us about. God, you said it, I believe it, and I'm walking in it. God, you said that you would heal me. I don't care how many times the doctors tell me it's impossible because all things are possible in you. God, everybody's saying that my marriage just isn't going to work, but you said that you work all things together for good. So I'm believing that you can heal what everybody says nobody can heal. Amen. A boldness for what God has for you. A boldness for the things that he's speaking to you so that you can go forth stronger and so much better. Because now you're walking in all of the things that he's placed here for you. And can I tell you that we don't even know what all those are? Because this book is living. So it's why when you go back to it, something you read before, he's got new things for you. Something that you saw before, now it looks different because you're in a different place in your life and he's speaking to you about where you are now. So you don't even know what all he can do in your life. It's why that relationship is so important, because he's still teaching you. It doesn't matter if you're the youngest kid or the oldest one in the building. Who cares? As long as you're here, he has a purpose and he's trying to place things in your life still. It's why the Bible talks about the renewing of the eagle's wings, because he's renewing you daily. It doesn't matter where you're at. He's got you here for a reason, and he's trying to do things in your life, but you gotta start walking in the things that he's giving you. You gotta start having a boldness that says, God, I am hanging on to this because this is what you said. And I don't care what comes up in my life. I don't care what's happening. I am standing on what your word said because I have faith that what you said, you will do. There's nothing more important than us just looking to the Father for everything we need. It's why in here we say, get in the Bible, spend time with God. Just like McKay said, it doesn't matter if it's 5 minutes or if it's hours, start doing it so that he can give you things that he's been wanting to give you for so long. John, we did John 14, 12, right? I'm sorry. James 2. This is the power verse. And it says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. This is what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us just talking about what could be, or what all of these what ifs or anything else. All he wants you to do is go after him and walk by faith. And your works will show who he is. Your actual working in faith will show who he is. It's not, we can speak things until we're blue in the mouth, but it's what we do. It's the actions that we take. We can say that we believe in God for things, but then our life should start aligning to what we're believing God for. We can say that we believe in all the things that God can do. The lady with the blood issue had faith enough that she didn't even need God to look her in the eyes. She didn't need him to even know who she was. She knew, if I get through this crowd enough to just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. That is a daring expectation of what God can do in your life. The fact that she didn't even need his attention. All she knew was that I know who he is and I know what he can do, and all I gotta do is touch his clothes. It's the same thing in our lives. If we begin to start saying, okay, God, you said it. This is what I can have. You gave me this. This is what I can do. Knowing that God has given us words not just to say, but to actually apply in our life and do, is the most powerful and important thing that we can do in our life. Knowing that if I apply this in my life, he is more than able to do what he says he's going to do. So this morning, I just want to encourage you to have daring expectations of what God is going to do in your life. That when he gives you things, have that boldness to say, I'm standing on it. I don't care what I'm seeing and I don't care what's happening. God, you said it and I'm going to do it. Because I really know that he has been talking to the church a lot about this in a lot of different ways. And he's saying, I'm ready for you to start moving. I need you to start doing it. I need you to listen to me so that I can give you direction. It does not matter how many times we try to do things on our own. We can put on events, we can put on fundraisers, do all this stuff. But the thing that God tells us to do is the most important of all of them. But we got to be going after him and we got to be applying it in our life so that when he tells us, we know this is what he has. This is what he wants me to do. You want to? Sorry, it went over.
Praise God. Would you stand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you know it's so important that you believe what God is saying to you? You know, I mean, there's people that believe the newspaper more than they believe anything. How many know that? Well, forget the newspaper. Let's go to the internet. They believe the internet. I heard somebody say that this is going to be the worst year in America for us. Can you believe that? Not me. The kingdom of God says something different. The word of God says that God is doing something great. He is sending the kingdom of God onto the earth. How many say amen to that? Amen. Yeah, amen. And so do you believe God? That's a question, you know. I mean, hey, I don't know. I can look at your face and I say, well, you look like somebody that believes God. You seem to be somebody that believes God, but do you believe God? Do you believe God? Do you believe that he wants to talk to you? Do you believe that he will speak to you personally? He will. He does. Come on. Amen? So let's pray right now and let's ask God just to touch what we need. How many say, you know, we got a lot of stuff, but God knows what we need. Is that all right?
Yeah.
So let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the word that Rebecca preached to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we know, God, that we have needs. We all have needs. Father, you desire to touch every need that's in this building. You desire to touch every need that's outside these doors, Father, because it's who you are. You are a God of love, and you care for your people. You care for those, Father God, that you have created. So, Father, we just thank you this morning. And God, I ask you, Lord, that you would use this word that was spoken this morning to touch and to move people into places where they've never been, because you are leading them, Father. Not because they believe they just need to do it, but because you are leading them. You are speaking to them. You have things for them that you want to take them to. Do that, Father. We thank you for all that you're doing in the earth today. Father, I believe with all my heart, as you have spoken to me in prayer, that we are seeing our earth. The planet that we live on is being seasoned for the kingdom of God. To be seen like it's never been seen in history. So we thank you for it. We praise you for it. Use every child of God to minister to those around him. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. 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 Would you shake somebody's hand?
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.